Hey there, everybody. Welcome to The Labcast. This is The Labcast, and we'll be talking about The Lab, Cypress's own 7-on-7 youth sports organization. Not just 7-on-7, a lot of other things going on there with The Lab, but primarily we'll be focusing and following along with these folks in this organization, and we're going to talk to players and coaches and the founders of this organization. We'll follow them along and learn about not only about more about the sport 7-on-7, but also more about the organization itself, all the things that they do and get out there, and they're laying it out there on the line for those kids and are really working hard to make sure that they are provided opportunity to become better versions of themselves on and off the field. 7-on-7 is a fantastic outlet for young athletes to showcase their skills and to get opportunity that may or may not be there for them in other environments that they're currently in. So we're going to get started tonight, and we're going to be talking to Clint Kettler and Eddie Russ, founders of The Lab. These guys got it all started, and they're going to tell their story, and we're going to talk through a lot of things, and we're going to jump around, and we'll have some other folks come in here tonight. We'll have some alumni of The Lab potentially stop by and tell us their story a little bit, and we're going to continue to do this throughout the season and bring folks in that can share their knowledge and share their input and help spread the word and let everybody hear, see, and feel what it is that we're about here for the kids and for the sport of football and 7-on-7. Labcast, The Labcast.
Yes,
sir. So, 7-on-7 focused organization. And then we have Clint Kettler here with The Lab, and we got
Eddie Russ.
PR Fitness and The
yes,
Lab.
Sir.
We're gonna be visiting today, and we'll do this as often as possible to put the word out on the sport with 7-on-7 and what's going on with the Lab specifically and what they're doing. So really, just want to talk first about, you know, how did we get started with The Lab and where'd all that start from, Clint?
We just started kind of working with young football players, some high school football players that really small numbers, and you know, loved it and enjoyed it, and people saw as kids were working with us how much they were developing, and it quickly took off from having about 15 kids to 40 kids to 50 kids to now 400 plus kids
today for 2025. How many total teams are just for 7-on-7? Because that's not all you do is 7-on-7.
Correct. So 7-on-7, we have around 260 kids. We're around 20 teams.
Damn. And that's going from 8U all the way up to 18U,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Man, that's freaking, that's a lot. A lot of kids. A lot of kids. We just had a tournament this past weekend kicking it off. The preseason Tone Babies event out in San Antonio with the teams. How do you think we fared out there this week for our first tournament of the season?
Overall, at the younger levels, we obviously did it more for just to see where kids fit in. We moved pieces around. None of the teams were the set teams we'll play this season. We just kind of wanted to see where kids fit in. So we're not even judging any of that. High school levels, I feel like everybody did honestly amazing for the first tournament. You know, we didn't come away with the trophy, which never matters to us. We're out there for other reasons than that. But
right.
we looked really good out there. Our 14U came away and won it all. You know, one of our 14Us, they looked really good, really short, had only 10 kids, and finished the tournament undefeated all the way through. So we were really proud of them and
wow.
Coach D.
So what's that? It's like 6 games over 2 days.
That one was, you know, yeah. Sometimes it'll be up to 10 or 8, 9, 10,
yeah,
just depending on how big the game, how big the tournament is.
I'm tired just describing that.
Right. Right.
So, Eddie, you're one of the coaches with The Lab, but also You also operate this facility here that we're at today, PR Fitness. Why don't you give us a little bit of background on that?
A little bit of background on it, man. Eddie Russ, man, originally from Florida. What do I start?
I don't know. How'd you get into the fitness game, man?
A little bit of background about me. I played collegiate football, you know, high level. Went from collegiate football. Played professional football, man. I don't too much like to talk about it. I like to be the guy for the kids, you know.
Yeah.
I don't ever want to take away from what they have. Uh-huh. I just always been like that. My time is done. I was able to do some things in that nature as far as a professional in this football game. And what I do, the way that I got into it, when Clint, man, had a tragic passing of his brother, RIP Cody, man, Cody Kettler, man, one of the toughest, craziest guys we know, always kind of towed the line of that edge of, you know, being tough. And to honor him, man, Clint came to me. We met a long time ago before we even started. And I was training, and it was before he even had his son, Liam. And we just started talking, and we hit it off right away, and we just like became like brothers. And as we became like brothers, we just kept talking. He seen me training a lot of kids. We'll go out to Greens Point. We'll go out to the hood, man. And we're training kids, man. And
you training them in the hood, or you go into the hood to recruit them?
In the hood, training them.
So we're running up and down the parking lot, and we call it Guns Point.
Yes, yes.
Where I come from.
Yes, so that's exactly where we were. We was at Guns Point, like Greens Road in Imperial Valley, right?
Man.
And so in that, where we found... we found a lot of talent, man. It's a boatload of talent, but resources are short there. So I used to drive, man, all the way from the Woodlands. Well, I lived downtown at the time because I opened the gym downtown, and COVID hit, and we had to close that one down. And as we closed that one down, you know, once COVID settled, I was like, hey, you know what? It's untapped. Untapped talent in the suburbs of Cypress. And that's where Clint was like, hey, man, I'm telling you, it's out here. What if we do this? And I'm like, man, okay, you set it up, be Jerry Jones, and I'll be the guy who will help get talent better and whatever I can do, whether you use my name or whether we train these kids and we put them on. And from there, we just grew it from, like you say, small kids that we had going from tackle football, and we just got into the 707 game. And as we got into the 707 game, I took my knowledge and expertise, what I had from playing, you know, collegiate football and professional football, and translated it into disciplines to get those guys right. And I was blessed to open up another gym here in Cypress called PR Fitness Lab. It's always been another dream of mine to have a clinical setting to have kids in, not just a performance place, but to get them into athletic therapy, like cold water plunge.
Right. I think what you're doing, you know, because my son goes here too.
Yep.
And he loves working with
Shout
you.
Out Michael Haslip, White Lightning.
Yeah. he's got some wheels on him.
Yes, he
that's
does.
That's for sure. And, you know, not only teaching them how to work out properly, but to take care of your body.
This is correct.
Recovery, things like that, especially when you get into the full contact aspect of the sport of football,
yes,
and you're taking a beating out there, you really got to make sure that you're managing that physical contact and
yes,
taking
sir.
Care of your body for long term
yes,
success
sir.
And growth, right?
Yes, sir.
And that's one of your focuses here,
yep.
is to help them with that too, right?
And one of the driving forces, man, is to undo what they do to them to their own bodies,
okay.
whether it be through their high school program, middle school program. I'm huge into mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to biomechanics, I was certified in both levels in DBC from down in Miami. That's where, like, LeBron trained, Dwayne Wade, a lot of those guys trained. And Cameron Nwosu, who's also another trainer in here.
I met Cameron. He's
yep.
good guy.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
What an awesome guy.
Awesome guy, man. Huge on foundational movements and things of that nature. And he was level 2 certified doing what is called musculoskeletal assessments. And we went and we got certified in this 60-point movements, man, to show them how to land, show them how to bend, move, stretch. And we took that approach to the fitness game and when it comes to football players. And we just want to not just be a speed lab or be just, hey, come in and hit it. We want to teach you how to bend, how to squat, how to twist, how to pull, how to lunge, and how to push. And it just took off, man. God literally put his hand in the middle of us and here in Cypress, and it ended up being a marriage that with 707 and with the school systems and location, and it just has taken off from there. And PR Fitness Lab is the lab, and the lab is PR Fitness Lab. So it kind of married together, and we want to keep those guys healthy, but also show them how to be functional instead of just being fast and strong.
Yeah, absolutely. So working together, you got the performance side of things, you got the actual aspect of the players. So Clint, beyond the just the play in the game 7-on-7 in the fitness and recovery piece of it, you have another part of what you're doing here to also give these kids guidance beyond the game or even into their post high school years, right? Got some.
Yes. Sorry, my phone's going off with 100 different parents and people texting me.
500 kids trying to get a uniform, play stuff. So, the life of a 7-on-7 coach.
God bless Clint. Phone goes off at 2 a.m., 3 a.m.
I have a coach I'm trying to figure out who that just set up a practice in Tomball, and now half my parents are there and half are here, and I have no idea about it. So,
God bless Clint.
Very unhappy about that, but. So we also really our biggest program is recruiting. That's what we tie into 7-on-7. That's why we play 7-on-7. That's why we are doing all this. You know, our goal is to get these kids into school. And we use the platform, the 7-on-7 platform, as an assistance. You know, we had three coaches out there in San Antonio. We had two major riders out there in San Antonio. That's really why we do this, and that's one of the reasons we've taken off so much.
We'll also, man, be to piggyback off of that. We'll be at the Super Bowl, man. Going out. Shout out to Lee Nicole, who's does a lot for a lot of underprivileged kids as well. Because it's always been a passion of ours. So we'll be out at the Super Bowl, man. At an event, helping those for domestic violence victims and kids of whose parents were victims of domestic violence, that using 707 and using football and using athletics as a escape route to stay off of the streets or to kind of find a different path. And that's kind of like what we're into.
I mean, I absolutely love. I mean, talent is out there, and you guys are evidence that if you look for it, you know, you're going to find it in most cases. And talent's one thing, but then you got the other piece of it is how do you guide it? How do you keep them out of trouble? You know what I mean? Good God. Some of them, you know, I'm not going to, you know, bag on parents or anything like that, but, you know, quite frankly, there's some kids out there that aren't really parented. They're not mentored. They don't have, you know, somebody in their life that they can look up to or get good advice from. They might have somebody they can get advice from, but it ain't good. So I think it's important that you have a community that can get guided.
And to piggyback off of that, you know, a lot of these kids do just have a mother without a father figure, and, you know, they do try their best, but they're working two or three jobs, and,
come on,
you know, it's impossible. I mean, it's impossible, you know, and the boys are going to be boys, and when they're alone, you know, 90% of the time, they just don't have a, you know,
positive male figure.
Exactly.
I can tell you, you know, from experience, and, you know, I'm not distressed by any.
Shout out to our moms, though.
They, man. Care.
But, you know, even in the high school years, you know, we talk about the elementary and middle. You know, man, those high school years, if you ain't around, they. You can't stop them. No, you can only hope to contain them.
Come on.
You gotta keep them lined up. And, you know, it's a full-time job in itself. So if you're working a job or two jobs and you're just trying to find the end, you can't even make it meet yet because you ain't even found it yet.
to get by in a lot of cases, then you're not going to be, you're not going to have that presence. You just simply won't. It's not because you're a bad parent.
Come on.
Right. It's because you just have a situation that requires your presence somewhere else for survival.
That's it.
And so being available for these kids to give them that guidance, to give them that ability to see beyond the, the green points of the world.
Yes, sir. Will, yes, sir.
And get into that, you know, how do I, how can I be successful, functional as an adult, get an opportunity to go to college.
Come on, man.
And things like that. So, and we got a whole, you know, we could talk for another probably hour or so just on the landscape of what it is to go into college with NIL and now with the new JUCO stuff that they passed down.
Another topic.
Maintain that eligibility through your D1 years and stuff. Yeah. You know, a lot of moving parts are going to be happening from here moving forward. So it's almost kind
of
like
A lot of people don't like that. I kind of like it. It helps a lot of underdeveloped kids, just mature level. Not, you know, you have the I'm going to use Andre Roy, for example.
Yeah.
Massive monster. One of the best defensive ends.
Game changer.
15 sacks.
Just imagine his body when it fills out. Mm. It's just not filled out yet. You know, otherwise he would be a five
power
star.
Five.
You know,
yeah,
he would be
power five, hands down. 15 sacks, co-player of the year, 6A ball. They went to the, second round?
Final eight of the state, man.
Lost to Duncanville.
Hell of a season for the Bridgeland Bears.
But a kid like him to get to JUCO and go a year or two in JUCO and just fill out, you know, have the diet right, the weight room right. It's gonna help people like that.
Oh, absolutely. And those guys, Hutchinson.
Yeah,
that's it.
Hutchinson.
Up there in
Kansas. National champions.
Yeah, we talked to that gentleman at the tournament, and he was talking up multiple players there. But
shout out Hutchinson, man, coach who's well versed with background of everywhere, man. When I say he cares and had a passion and actually wanted to see the kids and ask wide open questions, didn't judge or anything. Shout out Hutchinson University, man. Hutchinson College, they do it right too. I want to give them a shout out on that. So.
Oh man, 100%. And you know, again, bringing them through that organization, teaching them right. Maybe they don't go further than that, but it also sets the stage potentially for players like Roy that you know can develop and then maybe get that D1 opportunity.
Another thing it also does is it keeps a lot of these D1 schools from waiting and waiting and waiting. And not giving these kids an offer because they know JUCO might be a better route for them now. So they kind of have to
show their hand.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, they could take them
or
pull them into JUCO and still maintain that relationship if they want to. There's
going to be pipeline schools for sure.
100%. I mean, especially with your heavy hitters out there, your SEC schools, like Big Tens and major conferences. I mean, because if I got a junior that's killing it out there and I see a freshman, you know, and I'm like, or a senior in high school, I'm like, man, that dude can play.
Yeah.
And I bring him in, I'm going to sit him for 2 years or a year, you know, two seasons. Or can I get him reps and get him opportunity in a lower school?
Develop him. You are not wrong. And speaking of development, JUCO, being a former JUCO, because I couldn't pass the grades, right?
Yeah.
I get in trouble going out, and JUCO used to be a dogs of all dogs world, man. You go out to California, I went to Antelope Valley College, man. I ended up setting a national record at the time, All-American in track and All-American in football out there. Balled out, but when I tell you, man, it was nice. I didn't eat. I had to work. I'm washing the uniforms, and I didn't get home till like 1 a.m., get on the bus for an hour to get on the city bus to go in, and we got 9 people standing in one house that's a 3-bedroom house. That shout out to H5. We made friends with now. We had guys go from everywhere, from Iowa State to Kansas to Baylor from there. But we had to be dogs going there.
Yeah.
Now it's a privilege to go to JUCO. It used to be looked down upon, like, oh, you're a JUCO player. Now you go to JUCO, it's the new prep school.
Yeah.
You go there and you get developed and you have eligibility left to go and play D1, D2, et cetera. And develop. So,
and if you do it right, you can you can get a good amount of your school out of the way.
Yeah.
And potentially go into that 4-year major university and come out master's degree.
Come on, now we talking educational wise.
Get the leverage that opportunity for even more value, if you will. Yes. Because, you know, that NIL money, it ain't going anywhere.
Nope, it's here to stay.
It's only going to go up.
And I'm not mad at it. It's here to stay.
Absolutely.
And I'm not
mad at it. Kids deserve that piece of the pie, so
yes,
to speak.
Sir.
I mean, it's a multi-billion-dollar industry.
And it's only getting better.
And I can tell you, since it started, man, I've enjoyed college football way much more than it used to be.
Come on.
It's awesome.
Awesome thing. And with the NIL, man, going, it gives the players power, right? Leverage is what wins the game in any game. If you have leverage, you win. So if I got my name, my image, and my likeness, like the likes of, man, shout out Paris Melvin Jr., yep. who's walking the walk,
Sy Springs, man.
Sy Springs, man. Player of
the year. 5 touchdowns in that one game, or 5 or 6?
Yeah, five.
Against Ranch,
yeah. Broken hand, he had 5, and he called it. Yeah. But you take a kid like that who's 16, man, a young 16, top 10 in his class, just raw ability.
Yeah.
And he has an opportunity to go and be the breadwinner of his family by the time he's 18.
That's amazing.
Through this game of football.
Yeah.
And coming from the background in which I came from, where my mom only had an 8th grade education. My dad was a big time drug dealer, you know, used to go to jail back and forth. My brothers both got locked up 8+ years, et cetera. And I was the youngest of it. My aunt, who struggled with drug addiction. My uncle, man, who's doing life in prison right now since 2000. And my other uncle, man, who had a shootout with the police, who, you know, died. I'm the youngest of all of that. And so to see a kid that can come from a, you know, rough background, in a sense, and head up, chest out, and use football to get him out of his situation and circumstance, man, I shout out to NIL. Shout out to Paris and his family and the way that they, you know, hover around him at Springs and elevate him. Shout out to Clint and the lab for giving kids opportunities to be able to represent themselves for their name, image, and likeness.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, when you start talking about, you know, getting back to the 7-on-7 sport, the scene, if you will,
yes,
of it, there's some good, bad, and ugly.
Yep.
When it comes to what it is. I mean, 7-on-7 to me really didn't come. It didn't get my attention until about, I don't know, what are we at, 2020? So probably maybe 20, the last 5-6 years, I think, is when it got my attention.
Yes, sir.
And I love football.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But once my son was old enough to, you know, I think, be able to play the sport.
Yes, sir.
He wasn't physically able. It just couldn't catch COVID in a Wuhan street fest. We had to do some work to do.
Wow. He's moving the that was in a Wuhan street. Hey, that was a kill one, I ain't gonna lie. Yeah.
But now that you know, I've been out to those tournaments and I've seen the kids and I see the growth that these kids have with it, it's such a fun deal. But there's still some work to do, I think, too,
yes,
when it comes to how do we make the sport, or how do you make these tournaments have the right feel and culture when it comes to performance and sometimes behavior. We saw some examples of that this past weekend out there in San Antonio with a couple of teams.
That's a really open-ended question.
I was like, I'm gonna let Clint touch that one. I'll pick it back a little bit.
I think in order for these guys to have their tournaments stay successful, the number one thing is security and just accountability. You know,
yeah.
Zero tolerance. You know, when we first started, I got kicked out of a tournament, and I was so mad and I was pissed, but I got to realize, like, hey, man, they have to do it, you know, and
mm-hmm.
they called me later and they said, if I don't kick you out for cussing at them, then everybody, and I was, you know, that's right. That's what it is. So, and that was first starting, and now I try to be friends with everybody as far as, you know, people that have a say, referees, all that, because you don't want to get on their bad side, but I think it's holding people accountable, you know. We've seen tournaments where they let people get away with with murder, and then of course it's going to get worse and worse and worse, and then Sunday comes back. If you didn't get in trouble Saturday, well, now Sunday I lost the game. What am I worried about?
Right.
You know, so right.
They just start.
It's having real, you know, real police at tournaments. Yes. I think that's a major thing that they have to do.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you know, these tournament people, they got to make their money too. That's why they're doing it. So
I think for me, you know, just from an outside in type of deal, like I said, I'm fairly new to this scene, not new to sports, but, you know, for me, when it comes to people, you got to give them clear expectations. Like what is going to be expected of you and your organization or your teams when they come out to these fields?
Yep.
There's a difference, you know, some of the part of 7-on-7, part of the game is the smack talk.
Yes.
Like that is part of it.
Yes.
Like you are in front of a dog.
Yep.
And he is telling you what he's about to do to you.
Yes.
And you got to stop it, right?
Stop
That's
it.
Part of it.
Yes.
So if you can't handle that part of the game, then that's in between your two ears. That's not the referee's fault. That's not the organization's fault. That's not the tournament's fault. Sometimes if you can't make the right decisions when it comes to your behavior or how you respond to an emotional trigger, if you will. You know what I mean? Yep.
We, if y'all know, I'm the disciplinary of the team.
Sure, yeah.
Do not play that. If your body language down, I'm coming to get you. If you do something crazy, we let you have fun and swag it out.
Yeah.
But when we say, hey, let's go, let's dial it in.
Yeah.
And that's why I do like the 7-on-7 because it's beyond the game. We honestly, I'll be lying to say we didn't care about winning. Anybody that say that is they're lying.
Come on.
They're lying.
Why do you score?
You play to win the game. Hello? That's what Tony Dungy said,
that's
right?
Right.
So, or no, Herm Edwards. Shout out Herm Edwards. You to win, the winning is more than just the game. You got to win not only at being a player and a student athlete, but you got to win at controlling what happens if somebody puts their hands on you, right?
Right.
They catch the retaliation, like the person that retaliates.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, it's just like in school. You know, you got some kid that pushes on you, you push him back. They're both going to
go
to SAC or whatever they call it nowadays.
Yeah.
Alternative
school. And now if you can't control, because 7-on-7 is here to stay. The Pro Bowl right now is what? 7-on-7.
Basically.
Yeah, basically.
As it should be.
Yes, 1,000%.
Yeah.
It's a safe way to run around athletically for skilled players, sometimes those who are on the cusp and on the fence, to be able to get better, to run, go against like competition that you probably won't face.
Yep.
You know, in
so
a regular
you think
setting.
That, from a set, like as the game, from an evolution standpoint, where it started, where you think it's going.
Yes.
When we talk about, you know, the field, the 40-yard out.
Yep.
Field, do you see, or I don't know if there are or not, leagues or tournaments where that's extended or it's a bigger field, or do you see that the 40-yard
hands down.
Field is the sweet spot? That's where.
Hands down, I like the sweet spot. It speeds up the game. It's just enough so
guys
won't injure themselves, won't do too much. It's quick and it's fast. And I think it's going to end up being an Olympic sport because the game of football is dangerous, right? And I go on record, and I said it 2 years ago. Guys are getting, like, think about your son, right?
Yeah.
He's how old?
15.
How tall is he?
6'2".
How much he weigh?
180.
See what I'm saying? Like, bro, he's running, he just ran 11 flat.
Yeah.
Today.
Today in the cold with the wind blowing.
Imagine 6'2", 180, coming downhill, whether it's offense or defense, crashing down on somebody. The game is a dangerous game.
Oh, yeah. A friend of ours, man, his son goes to plays for TCU.
Yes.
Hudson Hooper.
Yep.
Bridgeland graduate, class of 2024.
Yep.
Ripped his ACL out his senior year.
Mm.
Spent time recovering, walked on, and has now got on the field in a matter of one season. Kid is
special.
That physically.
Yeah.
Somebody was telling me about these devices they put in the pads. Let's get them shoulder pads.
Yep.
And it measures like their speed, their force, like how much impact they're taking.
Yep.
And they use that data to recover.
Yes.
You know, this guy or know whether or not they're really trying.
Really trying, yes.
Checks pulse rate and all that kind of stuff and blood pressure and things like that. It's really scientific. And that's where the game is going, into that game of science, for the very reason of keeping players healthy.
Correct.
So that they're not damaging themselves. Because if they've taken too much contact, they're going to be like, hey, this guy needs to recover.
Yep, he needs to recover.
Do that
yep.
Deal where we, the old days of, you know, being tough and going when you don't need to go.
When you don't need to.
It damages the goods.
The goods, yeah.
But this kid's, you know, 6'5", 6'6", 230.
Oh, specimen.
They clocked him with that deal. It tells you how fast you're running. 21 miles an hour.
Bro.
Can you imagine that hitting you? That's like getting hit by a golf cart.
Literally, and you're going at him, right? So that's why I love the game of 7-on-7, because it lets your skill show your skill.
Yeah.
Some teams get away and just run some, you know, run some like snake stuff, and they do things like, which I get, you're trying to win. We really hone in on developing, because even this weekend, dude, I'm so proud of my boys, man. Face-to-face adversity. We had stuff stolen from us.
Yeah.
So much adversity going on, and we're having, multiple scuffles and things of that nature. And our team, with a 14-year-old quarterback, T.K. Gaines, who's number 6 in the nation, man.
He can sling it.
Sling it. Shout out to Paris Melvin for coaching. We let them go through the adversity, even in the championship game.
Mm-hmm.
We let the kids develop and see the game differently. So it's not truly all about winning with us. It's about the development and the trust that we have in them to put them and elevate them in situations of that they can't face naturally, because the coach is going to make those calls.
Yeah.
Now when you're in the huddle, 14-year-old, you got a 4-star and a 5-star beside you, you're looking around, and you know it's 3rd and 6 with a minute to go. What are you calling? I know what I would call. I know what Coach Clint would call. We've been in those situations, you know? Now what will a 16-year-old mind, what would a 14-year-old mind call in those games? And that's more important than a trophy to be hosted at the end. If that comes with it, God be the glory, we're happy. But the development and the mindset that those kids have from controlled aggression and situational awareness they get from that, you know, from that tournament is golden to us. That's why the lab is a lab.
That's why
we went out of town for the first tournament for a reason too, to build team camaraderie, hang out outside of all night, you know, all the boys hanging out, all of us hanging out. We had a blast. And you know, all the stuff that happened at that tournament, you know, like he said, getting stuff stolen from us and, you know, really, really
keeping a head.
Bad stuff going on, you know, from other orgs. And we just maintained the boys. Everybody had each other's back. Oh, and I told Eddie, man. I said, that meant more to me than the tournament in itself. You know, we built that season-long family camaraderie in one tournament.
Yeah, and quite frankly, I'm not sure. Like, I mean, we're just with the 15U and the 18U, you're 60 kids strong, dudes.
100
kids.
Like, I don't know if I'd steal from them. I don't know. That probably shows the intelligence level of those individuals in that they thought, well, I don't know. Let me find the biggest, baddest. You know, it's like in the yard and you can go steal, you know, money from them. But, you know.
The number one team, right? We're the number one team. We got the biggest order. We had 10 teams in the tournament. How many teams we had enter
in the tournament?
Mm-hmm.
This one in San Antonio, we had 12 teams.
12 teams enter into the tournament.
Yeah. Like, most of them finished well. I mean, my son's on the black team, 18 black, and, you know, we made it to the semis. And
lost
quite frankly, we should have won that game. You know, the only thing that drives me crazy about losing is losing games you should have won. And you can track them back to that one or two situations.
You'll learn every 7-on-7 game will come down to one play.
One play.
Or a conversion.
Yep.
It's that one thing that, you know, and I don't know why anybody would go for one instead of two. it makes no sense. But
that's all we go for is one. Every time.
I feel like I would go for two. I know you're 10 yards out, but I guess the playbook's a little bit more wide open on the one versus the two. But I'm not a coach, right? Because if I was coaching regular tackle football, like high school, middle school level, I'd never punt.
Never punt. Always go for two, never punt. Yeah.
Like, so that's how I think.
Yep. It's
that's why I sit in the stands and
watch. That's why you're the voice of the lab, right. Baby.
I'm just the talent.
Loudcast, baby. We love it. But But to talk about that, that's why we play the game. You're one play away from either winning or losing.
Yeah.
How do you compose yourself? What do you do in adverse situations?
How do you lose?
Come on.
How do you lose? You know, it's not. You're gonna lose more often in life than you're gonna win. So how do you lose?
I'm an expert at failure. D1 fail. D1 failure.
Yeah, right there. You're D1. You're a 5-star failure.
5-star stacking failures.
Man, it made you great. How often? And so, and I always talk about it all the time, man. I had a little rough upbringing. Like, we came up different. But a lot of these kids in Bridgeland and Cypress area,
they have no idea. No idea. It is unreal how disconnected they are from that reality.
You know,
and it's a blessing. Yes. I'm going to tell you, it is a blessing. Yeah. I didn't have quite the situations. I grew up in a different environment, more of the Southeast Texas white trash environment that, you know, we had different types of violence.
correct, Demondo. Literally, man. So with that, allowing those kids who, where I remember Steve Spurrier, head ball coach, came to recruit us, and he came to recruit me and a few other couple guys. And
did he have his visor on?
Oh, hands down. He had armored cars. He pulled up in the hood. Literally, like, man, this is so
Secret Service on him.
Dude, ate at the Chinese restaurant.
Tell them what the hood did. They shut it down. They wouldn't let nobody mess
with
nobody.
Wouldn't let nobody, because they understood the assignment. In the hood, they're trying to get out or send people out. And a lot of these kids in the burbs are trying to go to the hood or be in the hood. So, but at that time.
At least at that time, right?
Yeah, and at that time it was opposite.
Right.
And so now it came to a situation in which where he said, hey, I want the kids that got addresses as short as their phone numbers. Meaning like 22D, 22A. He said, those are going to be the players.
Right.
He said, if you got an address that's big enough, he said, I probably can't coach you. he said, literally,
you got to have a letter in it.
You got to have a letter. He said, I don't want the 27D, apartment C. You know, he want those, right? He don't want the 1772 Cypress Wood Drive. And
address is a P.O. box.
A P.O., you know. So, and those players are going to be those dogs who not only know how to face adversity, but know how to get out of situations. In life, more so on the field, so they're so used to adversity. So now when we get our suburbs kids who, man, goes to a 6A school in Bridgeland where you got guys like they can raise $50,000 in a weekend.
Yeah, you know, I mean, shout out to the fine folks at Bridgeland and the Booster Club there that have done a fine job of, you know,
raising money.
That community is
amazing.
Yeah, we take care of the kids for sure.
Yep.
But you know, the other piece of it is, you know, appreciating it.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
We talked about it. You know, the old saying, where there's a will, there's a way.
Yep.
You know, here there's a way. You just need the will.
I like the way you framed that one. You just need the will.
Because I mean, that's opportunity is there.
Yep.
And you know, when you got guys like you and Clint that are putting it out there and putting kids on, giving them those opportunities and pulling them from different and creating diversity.
Yes.
Diverse teams. You know, you got some kids from the hood.
Yes.
And you got some kids from the burbs.
Come on.
And they're in there. They're becoming brothers and creating relationships.
Brother, the value. To cut you off, man, shout out Clint freaking Kettler, bro. My brother. He's right here beside me, man. And bro, it almost brings me to tears. I can't even look up because of the things he do for kids. Like when I say, man, 3 days straight, he's up. How many cash out requests he gets. He rents cars. Shout out Clint Kettler, who doesn't get enough praise. And I'll sing it to the moon comes up and down. He does such a phenomenal, I know he's going to hate me for this, for saying it. But he does such a phenomenal job of going above and beyond as he going in and out right now, giving kids uniforms. He haven't slept. He's been up since 2 a.m. But he brings the same energy, and he always present. Never says no. Always finding a way. And what he does for those kids, whether you're from the hood or whether you're from the burbs, he's going to give you the same energy. And shout out Megan Kettler, who allows him for us to have him. And she has a big sacrifice in it as well. And I'm just so grateful and thankful to be a part of it, to call him my brother, to call him my business partner. And it's one of the reasons I helped build this place. And he helps fill this place with the work that he does. We call him Jerry Jones, man, for a reason. And because he has an edge about himself, but that heart that he has is tremendous, man. And I just want to, nobody does it like him. That's why we're the lab. That's why we are where we are. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be here. And I really want to give him that shout out, give him his flowers while he's sitting here, while he's beside me. I know he's hating
appreciate
me for
that.
It.
No, appreciate but,
and I think that he does to add to that, you know, and that's what we're doing here with this. You know, it's our first episode. It's episode one.
Episode one,
the
baby.
The lab cast.
Yep.
You know, we have a great cast of characters in this organization. From top down, across the board, and getting more parents involved and more people involved and committing their time to put the word out when we talk about what you guys are doing with the lab, what you're doing for the kids at PR Fitness, and teaching them how to take care of themselves and learn and be better versions of themselves is invaluable. And I think that the more people know about it, the more, then the better off we all are, in my opinion. You know what I mean?
Yep. Right. I've seen him get cussed out so many times when he's in the right gracefully and he handles it. And he's just like, dude. And all he's trying to do is help. So, you know, I know even now what it takes to grow. It makes me a better person just watching him, you know, operate and watching him grow and what he does for those kids and even for those parents. Before we came in here, he was rushing, talking to a coach about always getting better. What's next? What's going? So he had a vision, and he never folded on that vision. And I had a vision that we came together, and now it's like napalm. And
right. So like, now what's next? What's up? What's on deck for the lab and right now?
Continue growth.
He's not gonna let nothing out, man. First off, he's in house. He's not gonna let too much out. Maybe we'll. You know what?
Let's talk about what's coming. What's the next tournament we got coming up?
Yeah, there you go.
This weekend in Waller, we'll have all 20 teams out there.
We got the kickoff classic.
Should be interesting.
There's some kicking
and stuff. No kicking, but
kind of to extend on what Eddie said too. You know, we have behind the scenes. You know, Megan Friedman, Chelsea Spiller. You know, they do all the book work, all the Zorts work, all that work. I'm trying to get them some more work to do.
But get the female perspective, female side.
Yes. We'll get all three of them on here.
Absolutely.
Both Megan's and Chelsea on the show. And
Hell
yes. There.
Yep. See how bad they talk about me.
Yeah.
I will allow it.
Yep. And you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb and say, hey, whenever we need to drop a nugget, we'll call it a lab nugget. And then we'll drop it here. So you'll kind of get some
nuggets we can get this week or right now. Maybe not. Players to watch.
What do you want?
I don't know. Who
we can go recruiting. We can go players. We can go anything.
We got some stuff cooking right now, and I'm gonna see what CK wants to do.
We'll have the biggest recruiting edge on any program in the nation, but I'm not gonna let out how.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
Yes. Yes.
Awesome. Big things on the recruiting front for the lab. Any players that you guys are looking
to? Yes, sir. Actually, we do. So you know, we love our homegrown talent, all our boys. You know, I could sit here and shout out every single kid on any level, any team.
Yep.
Every one of them has something special about them, something that we love, something that they're working on, something that they're doing. And what it's done is bringing in these kids that are already built, and they're saying, man. Look at these kids, what they're doing. What if I want to take my stuff even to another level? You know, we have a kid, Carde Mack, coming in, starts this week. He doesn't need us by any means at all. Just, you know, and he reached out and said, man, I would love to play with you guys too, you know, and see how y'all can help me. And that, you know, that means a lot to us too, and it means a lot to the other kids we have over here that are working their way up to that status, you know, to show, look, y'all are being noticed by your peers. You know,
correct.
Once you're noticed by your peers, you'll be noticed by everybody else. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more. You know, one of the other things that I think is important to communicate to the young players, especially the younger ones, you know, 13s and 14s, 15s, that see those guys mm-hmm. walking in, you know. You can be that. Sometimes you may not be that yet. And, you know, teaching the patience of the process and right. you know, how you this is a good example. This is what we see in you, and here's your path to get you to that vision.
I'll give a little nugget.
Got a nugget coming, baby. Loud nugget.
Yeah, more of a shout out. But I want to give recognition to the T-Shot That.
We on the same JP Views and yep. Miracle. And T-Shot That.
Yeah. T-Shot That asked me if I could help him do more of a role to get better in the business world. And I said, of course, you know. He said, can I manage the lab? Absolutely. And he's done a tremendous job. He calls me, texts me daily, asking me questions. Hey, what do you want to do with these kids? Where do you want to put these kids? What kids do you want me to reach out to? What media people do you want me to reach out to? You know, it's that going unnoticed from a kid like that that also already has his media outlet going with or without us, you know, and he wants to learn and get better at that. And behind the scenes, he's also helped tremendously, you know, and his family does too. And we want to, you know, praise him and, yep. you know.
Shout out T.
Yep. Takes a village.
Yep. Yep. And I want to say this as well, where the way that we do media at the lab is second to none. That's why when people see it.
Starting with the OG, Miracle.
Yeah, with Miracle, man. Like, she was a high school kid that, you know, we like helped structure her business. She had a vision. She had things, and now she's the head media.
Filming for the Spurs, for
UTSA. She films when the Spurs went out.
All-American games.
Yeah. Faced so much adversity, but she's so loyal to the lab. So she's the first lady of the lab when it comes to media. And shout out to JP Views, who does a lot for us. He's always there when we call, does great, great media, and then T-Shot That. It's more of a mentor role that we've kind of gone into with him as well. So when y'all see social media booming, a lot of that work goes out to them, man, and they show love and want to be a part of that. So when I say, you know, it's a privilege to be able to do this, and when you see those players coming in, it's because of them. Like, they shoot a lot of our media and make it look good, and we appreciate it from that. So
cool. Yeah. 100%. I'd love that. That's awesome. So coming up this week, how many teams are going to be in this tournament this weekend?
Oh, man, it's gonna be a bunch. It's going to be one of the bigger tournaments of the year from what I'm understanding. So everybody's coming to play this one. This is most people's kickoff, where we did ours last week.
Right, yeah, like kind of like a preseason, get a feel for it, see, like, I mean, to your point,
yep.
who can play with each other, you know, yep. Who's trusting each other, who's not.
Correct.
Where can you leverage, you know, a particular player with a particular team, you know, and making sure that.
And most likely with us, we're going to knock down our 18 U's and even add another one, not kids-wise, but just group-wise, like break them down all a few kids and add another 18 U just so they can get more exposure.
Yep.
Same with 15U.
So. Yeah, you have just like, I mean, it's a murderer's row on some of these teams.
Yeah, people ask me, what's your A, B, C, D team? We don't really have one this year.
I mean, when you start looking at it and you're like, well, right. Him too. And if you got, you know, X amount of kids on a team, you know, you only put seven on the field at a time, not everybody gets to get out there and get those get as many reps as others, because there's always still, you know, it's still a meritocracy.
Yep.
At the end of the day, when you talk about sport, you know, cream rises to the top. But, you know, you still have to, you know, get rep. You still have to get exposure. You still have to do the work. You got to get the experience, because you can run routes on air all day long, and you can read route trees, and you can, you know, catch jugs, and you can do a hundred things to fundamentally make yourself sound. But it's not the same when you're on the field, going full speed, physically being pushed around and pushed off your routes, or trying to be pushed off your routes to make plays, or turn your body, go off schedule, if you will, and make those plays.
Right, right.
Everybody wants the number one team until it's time to sub. Yep. And then I was literally going to say, like, shout out to the coaches of the lab, too. because, man, it's a hard job. When you got player, when you look up, you got 3-star, 4-star, 5-star. Then you got guys in what you want to bring up, right? Like you want to bring guys up through development, but you seen that guy just catch a touchdown or, you know, yeah, so shout out to the coaches.
Kids, yeah. Your aunt's kids, your cousin's kids. It's a lot, you know, it's a lot to balance and to do it the right way. So,
yeah. So how do you handle that? Cause I know you get it, you know, why my baby ain't playing?
Oh my God. Matter of fact, man, shout out to the parents. Like we got kids like Monster, right?
Yeah.
Like, man, Fort Bend
Hold Marsh. On, Kevin Camarchi Jr.
Kevin Camarchi Jr.
Make sure you throw that in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah. Kevin Camarchi Jr., man. Like, who,
Carmucci
yeah. Jr. Fort Bend Marshall, man, quarterback, man. And
high profile. Yeah. Big time kid.
Huge, man. And I watch him, like, you know, sometimes even just take a back seat. Like, okay, coach, I got you. Two, like, you got him and the TK Gaines, right, that can evenly talented, both are dogs, and then you got guys that been with us 3 years that's playing quarterback that know us, and they're looking like, hey, are we playing on that team? And it takes not only a village, but it takes a willingness for those kids not even to take a back seat, but to take what we give you and win with more. Most people think that it's,
I like that.
You know,
you know, the organization, Eddie, Clint's, you know,
mark my words,
commitment to helping these boys out there be better versions of themselves and things like that.
So I just want to introduce him.
Michael Robinson.
That's Michael Robinson.
So
all one of the coaches for the lab, right? For baby?
Offensive guru. Florida guy. So our playbook was designed and written by him.
Okay.
Offensively, right? So wrinkles and when it comes to being an offensive mind, the quarterback coach, man, this guy, I don't want to bring him in. Coach Clint loves him, cut for him so hard, he don't want to deal with any other QB coach. Like, I'm talking about, can I drop the nugget?
I won't name drop.
Okay. People actually like trying to pay him to
big
come.
Big names.
Big names to come and do QBs. And what you tell him, coach?
Conflict of interest.
Hands down, try to pay. But that's how much respect we have for this guy, Coach Michael Robinson, who I know that just knows the game through in and throughout offensively. And just, man, I don't defer to many when it comes to the game. He's one that I would defer to. So I'm wanting to bring him in and introduce him to the world and see behind the scenes, man, one of our gurus, and Coach Michael Robinson.
So, nice to meet you, Coach.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, man. So the offensive guru, are you modest? Are you?
You would never hear me say those words. You would never hear me say those words. Man. I know a little bit about quarterback. I need to pass that on to the next generation.
Right on.
They can teach it the right way.
What
right.
do you? What if you had to take, you know, the top five things? You know, what fundamentally? What do you like to focus on with these kids?
First thing would be footwork, right? Which one? Physical. First thing we're talking about anything in charge of physical tools would be the footwork of it all.
Okay.
Understanding coverages from the defensive side of things.
See, that one's hard for me. Like, I watch a lot of football, but man, when people start talking about cover two, cover three, I'm like, what does that mean?
I still get it. I still, like, just the last couple of years before I really know
just
it.
Got it.
It took me forever to really understand that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Me and him battles on it all the time, but go ahead.
It's just one of those things where it's meant to get. The game is already inherently hard.
Yeah.
So if I can make it easier for them as far as mentally, right? Like I tell the kids.
So breaking it down and like how do you simplify it?
Yeah, so
compartmentalize.
Usually they'll, you know, coaches as far as when I know when I was growing up, they'll teach it, you know, they have to, you know, the defense is this and so this is what you have. And so my kind of approach to it is something that was kind of put on me by somebody that I respect in the industry was teaching it the same way the defense is teaching, right? If we know it the same way the defense know it, then we have the advantage because we know. So that's kind of how I approach it. It's been successful. I've got an 8-year-old to understand the most basic of coverages. And then after that, that's the physical tools of it all, right? And after that, we start talking about the mental side of it.
Yeah.
It's the leadership component, the accountability component to that position, because that's ultimately how you're going to lead. You know?
Yeah, it's the most important job on the field.
Yeah.
You're not going to win without a good quarterback. Right. And if you don't have a good offensive plan,
right.
it's not going to do that great right. either. Because I've seen plenty of talented quarterbacks with bad plans not be great.
And let me pop his stuff. He's modest, man. He has starters all over D1. I ain't going to start name dropping. He has D1 quarterbacks, 3-star, 4-star, 5-stars. Some get ready for the NFL, et cetera, man. And when I tell you, man, our conversation sounds like Chinese to a lot of people because I'm naturally a defensive guy. Like last night, we literally get better because I'm implementing cover 2, cover 1. We understand the concepts, but we can talk it in a way in which he can compartmentalize what I'm saying defensively to go against what I have, to go against what I have on the defense to attack it on the offense. But it gives me an advantage to implement on the defensive side because I know nobody's coming like he's coming. And he knows on defense nobody's coming how I'm coming. So an immovable object and what you want to say, like a huge, powerful force meet, right? Instead of hitting heads on, we're able to go and elevate each other's game. And that's where we got Jerry Jones, the best recruiter in the nation, bro, that to go and knock on anybody's door and get him in here. I don't know how deep our pockets are right now, because he's going to go get him. And we take that and you put two minds, football minds together to run an org, you're going to get napalm. So shout out to Ascension. Tell them about your business right quick.
Yeah, I've had it for a little while now, Ascension Athletics and Mentoring.
Okay.
Where I train young.
Where are you guys located at?
Anywhere on this piece of grass.
Okay.
Anywhere where kids want to get out, to get outside, learn how to get better, learn how to play the position, that's all I really need. So we're located, I'm located primarily in the Cypress area, but, you know, I have kids in Klein.
Cypress, Klein, Tomball.
Klein, Tomball.
Woodlands.
Tuscaloosa.
Katie, everywhere.
Wherever there's a quarterback wanting to get better, I'm ready to get to it. So,
okay.
This is facts.
But just in terms of, like, going back to what Eddie was saying, in terms of, like, the 77, I look at, like, when me and him are going mental sparring, it's kind of,
yep.
It's kind of like practice for an interview, right? Like, yep. Trying to get those hypothetical questions out of the way, and so that way when game day or tournament day arise, there's really nothing we haven't really talked about. And of course, all this is made easier because Clint's rung in the top talent in the area. So I'm just like,
you ain't got to do much.
I'm going to draw up this play that I know usually wouldn't work. I'm going to draw it up and
see what happens.
I know Parrish is down there somewhere.
Right.
I know
right.
Randall Russ Jr. down there somewhere.
Right.
And I know the twins are down there somewhere. Put it up.
You're not limited in physical ability. Right. I had these kids that can do all these things. Let's draw up this concept
Correct.
That we haven't been able to do, probably maybe in previous seasons or with other organizations that I've been with.
Yeah, makes it fun. You start kind of putting the cheat code to it.
Correct. Correct.
A little bit.
Correct.
Sounds like you guys have that.
Man, we got the sauce, man. We kind of walk around with a little arrogance, right? At the lab, we wear our confidence on our sleeve because we are going to be the most probably prepared, mm-hmm. and we'll be the most. We go to the biggest org, and then we'll be the most talented org. And then we have, man, shout out to the parents like y'all, you know, that have our back no matter what. And they'll put their kids in. We tell them, hey, the tournament's in Boogaloo, Africa. Here they come. Like, when we look up, man, we have the support of the family and the friends, and they support what we do. Even when it comes to Ascension Athletics training and when it comes to PR Fitness Lab, and they really believe in what we're doing, and it makes it a lot easier with that support because I'm a huge believer that energy can only be transferred, never destroyed nor recreated. So you keep that energy going and that positive energy and that momentum gets going, and you can take off and elevate from there.
Yep, and our boys sell it too, you know, like I said from the beginning, we're a family atmosphere. Like when we go to tournaments, we have so much fun just hanging out, you know, going to eat, it's not all about football, man. It's we have fun doing other stuff, you know, and that the boys sell it. You know, people want to come play here. It's not hard to get people over here. They want to come here because we enjoy it. And all the boys tell other people how much fun it is. You know?
Yeah. I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. Yeah. I mean, you start looking at it and you go from point A to today. And you look at what you guys have built here with the lab, and, you know, I speak from personal experience, what it's done for my son personally in terms of his growth and, what he's got going for him and getting him better.
Yep.
And giving
him
I got a text a little while ago. I'll read it to y'all and end this thing here pretty soon. But I got a text that said, hold on, let me scroll about 75 down and find it. One of the dads sent me his son getting recognition on Vipe, and I said, man, he earned it, you know, and he said he owes y'all, the coaches, he will honor your organization when he signs, et cetera, you know, and it's stuff like that that really, that helps us, you know, understand that people really do love what we're doing, respect what we're doing, and we don't see it a lot either, you know, we're so tied and just, okay, he's doing good, let me go to this kid, make sure he's doing good, this kid, make sure he's doing good. You know, I got Andre Roy, when he called me and got his first offer, damn near brought me to tears just because he was so excited about it, you know, and that's the reason, you know, God gave us this ability, this platform to do this, you know, and God put all this together, you know, and we'll see how big
you're exactly where you're supposed to be.
Exactly. Yep. With who we're supposed to be with, you know, and when we don't feel they're right, get rid of them.
Hey, they're gone.
Crop the picture.
There it is.
As they say.
And we could be wrong, right? Hey, yeah. We're never right 100% right, of the time, but I'm a big believer, and Eddie and I have had arguments about this, and me and everybody else, hey, even if I'm wrong, what I feel comfortable doing, hey, we're not working right with these guys right now. Correct. Let's cut ties. And it's not a bad thing. Or let's not let them come in house. You know, let's
protect
that. Similar to like what he was saying about quarterback coaches earlier, or whatever. But I feel like God's guiding this organization. And I know that may sound kind of cliche, but that's truly what I feel like. And I feel like we built it for that reason. You know, it's not all about football. And I love it. I appreciate you guys. And
oh, man.
Hey, Labcast Volume 1 was amazing, great. Can't wait for episode 2.
Yeah, man, we got more things to talk about on deck with that. And
one more thing, man, to speak on family, man, in my background, man, I gotta give recognition. Y'all know it, man. This is like literally like a little brother or son of mine, where when we speak about family and when we speak about, you know, what it is to be a part of something special, probably one of the fastest human beings, but more than the most like best kids I've known. Probably since 7th grade. Track athlete, man. Probably one of the alumni of the lab, alumni of PR fitness and everything that we've been a part of, and not only helped build it, but he's gonna be a continual part. He's graduated from Rutgers. He has 2 years of eligibility left. His name is Aaron Black, man, from Klein High School. As he sits in the back of me, he's bringing his teammates in and working them out, and still always part of the family. Asking when can he pull up, what can he do, even though he's gonna be in the Olympics 2028. But he comes with a humble approach and always wants to give work, and he speaks to our kids, and we love him here. And I wanted to bring him up and let him say a little bit of something, man.
College graduate.
Yeah.
Damn, that is freaking
this
awesome.
This is Aaron Black, man. Rutgers University, by way of Klein. When I tell you, man, one of the best kids that you will ever find out, one that actually is going to be helping your son get faster.
Heck yeah.
And with mechanics and running, and this is our guy.
He's got his first meet next week. He's got to run 60-meter.
There it is.
Hurdles, and they're going to put him in the 100, too. He ran 11 today.
There it is. So whatever you want to ask him, get him a voice. Yeah.
So thanks for coming in. It's a pleasure to meet you. And, you know, sitting and talking with Eddie and Clint, and just to hear from you, a product of their program would be awesome for you to share, you know, what the lab did for you, what PR Fitness and Eddie Russ did for you, and not only as an athlete, student athlete, but as a man now, grown and here and coming back, paying it forward.
Like, the biggest thing, I probably met Eddie, like you said, when I was in 6th grade. He was actually training my big brother.
Big Wes.
Yes, sir. So, as I got older, I moved out to Texas full-time. My 9th grade year, came in probably like 5'8", scrawny, soaking wet like a buck 10. Really didn't have any direction. And, like, I would do a couple workouts with Eddie, but I would go back to North Carolina. And as I got older, like, we really started to, like grow the fundamentals of just being an athlete itself, and he taught me about the little things and how to carry myself. And as I started to get older, like the work that we were putting in every summer after workouts and everything, it really started to show. And then by my senior year, I was a starter on varsity at Klein, had a good season of football. I was able to pull in a few couple offers, like some JUCOs, some D2s, D3s, and stuff like that. But when we got on the track, that's where we really started to show, like, all the production, like, everything that we've been working for, it really started to pay off. And by my senior year, I was able to break about 5 or 6 school records. I started to get my first few scholarships. And moving on to, like, going on to Rutgers and everything, like, I would come home over the summer, the work never changed. It was still the same standard. I was not big time. Like, I would be put right back in my place no matter what. Like,
Stay humble. Be thankful.
And that's one of the biggest things. So, like, we never treated it like any. I was never bigger than the program, never bigger than the lab, never bigger wherever we were at. Like, it was the same fundamentals that I was learning from when I was in sixth grade as when I was a senior in college. And even now, like, coming back and seeing how far that has come, I feel like it's only my due diligence to help the younger, the next generation, get the same experiences, if not better, than what I had, because the sky's the limit for anybody. And I didn't think I was going to get to where I got to. Eddie helped bring that out of me, and, like, he really helped show me the ways and, like, grow me as an athlete and everything. So I want to do everything that I can. Like, I have one of my teammates in the bag, Jabari, who's very knowledgeable.
Is that Jabari?
One of the best long jumpers in the country. He's going to kill it all season this year. This is the stuff that, like, I want to have more mindset of, like, I want to help whoever I can. And, like, I might not know something, but, like, if you got a jumper who wants someone to jump, I got my guy right here. He'll give you all the knowledge and everything like that. And, like, I just feel like I owe it to the program just to do whatever I can just to help out any way I see.
I think it's interesting, you know, when you talk about, you know, like, when you transition from football to a track or back and forward, multi-sport athletes a lot of times. But when you find that thing, right, that, you know, you might, I love playing football, or I love to be the receiver, or I want to be the quarterback or whatever, but, and I speak for experience with this, my own son, is that, you know, you find the thing that makes you special. And that, again, that's what's great about what Clint and Eddie in the lab and Mike here are doing, is that you find leveraging that into a better version of yourself. It's exciting to watch. Exciting to meet guys like you who've been there, done that, and now are back paying it forward again. And if you could go back and talk to your ninth grade self, go back in time, what would you say to him?
I would just say, hey, like, the work that you're putting in, I know it sucks, but it's going to pay off. Like, there's times, like, I'm, like, almost in tears with Eddie. Like, I'm like, why you got me doing this?
Torture.
It's like your body's shaking. Like, you feel like there's no hope. But once you get home, you shower up. And then, like, the next day, like, I want to go back because I got better. And it's just, like, telling myself in those moments where weakness, where you feel like you want to quit, like, stay the course. It's going to pay out. And you're doing it for a reason. And you're put here for a reason. So don't waste the time that you have right now. Like, make sure you take full advantage of everything. And, like, don't take it for granted, because it's going to fly by before you know it. And it's going to be all over. And then, you know, you just got to do what you can to stay ahead of the curve.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit about do you go to school? Where do you go to school?
So I went to Rutgers.
Okay, so you're alumni too. Congratulations.
Yes, sir.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, Philadelphia guy. I was also football and basketball, but again, I was a victim of the soaking wet 110 club. So, you know, football was my calling. Track ended up being my calling. And it's actually ironic. My father, he's a long jump coach.
Oh, okay.
But I was kind of neglecting track because I always wanted to play football and basketball. But, you know, when I found out it wasn't in my cards, then my dad was like, okay, now it's time to ball, basically. So, you know, 4 years of track, it was a great experience. But if I had to go back and tell myself in ninth grade a piece of advice, I would tell myself to be the consistent guy instead of the motivated guy.
Okay.
Because
expand on that a little bit. So what do you mean by that? Motivated versus consistency.
Right. So I actually learned maybe my junior year my sophomore year going into my junior year that summer, that consistency always outweighs motivation, because motivation runs out at some point. So, which is funny because it started out as motivation, but as I continued to, you know, put the work in, because I told myself I never want to be in the position that I was where I failed, to be honest. So I said, you know, once this motivation runs out and I feel the results changing, how am I going to continue this? And the only answer was consistency. just for example, meditating, eating right, you know, taking care of things off of the track, taking care of things on the track, recovering as much as I'm working out. Those little things that, even keeping my mental right, just those little simple things that if I was motivated, I would be cognizant of that until I was unmotivated to do it.
Yeah.
And in the times that I was unmotivated, that I didn't want to, I wouldn't do it. Versus when I was consistent, even when I didn't want to do it, this is part of my routine. This is something that I have to do. This is what's going to put that food on my plate. So,
discipline and consistency.
Yes, sir.
Without those two things, I mean, the commitment gets you started, but the consistency gets you
through.
Gets you through. Gets you home.
100%.
I couldn't agree more with that.
100%.
That's awesome. 100%. Thanks for sharing that with us.
No problem.
So you guys are here for just hanging out, going to hang with the kids and teach them how to get better. And
yes, sir.
Teach us all we have for now, and we'll see you guys next time. Yes, sir.